Welcome again to The Harvest. It's so good to have you all viewing with us today and joining in. Before we get too far into this episode, why don't you text someone real quick and say, hey, jump on to the Faith Assembly Facebook page and tune in. This is going to be a very good interview today. Real excited to have with us as our guests today some missionaries that are ministering to a significant Muslim community right here in the United States. And for purposes of just making sure that they can continue well with their ministry and not create any sort of issues with them, we're going to keep them somewhat anonymous, but we can still say their first names. Brian and Melody, we're so glad to have you with us today, and this Muslim community that you're ministering to in the United States. Everybody needs Jesus, and what an important ministry this is. I'm so anxious to hear what the Lord is doing in your community. And so, first off, welcome to our broadcast of The Harvest.
It's glad to be here. Thank you so much. We're just excited to be here and to share with what God's doing in our lives, what God's doing in the Muslim community here.
Amen.
And we pray God for that.
Amen. Well, listen, I want to ask you, we know that you're missionaries to the Muslim community. What unique aspects are there to ministering to the Muslim community that would be different than, say, ministering to people that have grown up in the Christian culture and kind of have that sort of, you know, mindset going? What's the difference here? What sort of challenges are there in unique circumstances that you have to deal with Muslims that you wouldn't otherwise?
First off, Pastor, I think that context is everything. And being in America, we've been predominantly a Christian nation for so long. I know some things are changing, but when Muslims come here and we just engage them, we have that mindset that we can engage them in the way that we would engage anyone. And coming from a Muslim background, Islam is so pervasive throughout their way of life. It impacts everything they do, who they are, their family life, their food, their clothing, the way they dress at times. Even though they're in America and they have kind of the best of both worlds where we are in the town that we are ministering in, city we're ministering in, you have the American culture, but a very strong Arabic culture here as well. I think someone approaching someone who's Muslim or Arab Muslim needs to know the context that they're coming from, the way they think, the way they've been raised to look at life, their worldview. And our worldviews are, if I could say, worlds apart, no pun intended, to the point where I think it's helpful just to know a little bit about like where they're coming from, just to be able to connect and communicate with them and maybe even develop a friendship or a relationship with them. Because it's not the way that most of us were raised in America.
Can you give us an example of maybe how you can connect? I mean, if we're worlds apart, where's there even a place to connect? Can you give us some examples of how maybe those opportunities come about and how you've been able to connect?
Okay, first off, the Lord really blessed us when we moved here to, it was on our heart. I believe the Lord put it on our heart to move in to a neighborhood that was predominantly Muslim, so that we would have start with natural interactions. Just when we go walking, jogging, you know, when the sun's out, just normal activities, meeting our neighbors, which are Muslim next door. And just those things, just those occasions, just starting there, natural things, being out in the neighborhood, being visible in the neighborhood. And I think we started there. It was a great place. We got to know a few of our neighbors. Most of them have stayed in the same houses. Like, we haven't moved in and out of different neighborhoods. So we've been here. It'll be 6 years this summer. So we've had an opportunity to get to know some people. And I think just showing ourselves friendly, like waving, smiling, learning. Actually, since we've been here, we've started to learn a few Arabic phrases. Hello, how are you? My name is Brian, you know, things like that. So if they are not familiar yet with the English language, It's like you're touching them at a level, letting them know, okay, this couple, they don't look like us, but yet what's coming out of their mouth, they're obviously trying to learn our language when we're in their country. So there, it's another way of like saying, I care about you. I'm trying to reach out to you just to make friendly conversation. And for us, that's spoken volumes to the people. Oh, do you know Arabic? I mean, it's almost like, it's like their face lights up, like, and that we're making an effort, even though they've come to our country from whatever circumstance, just to be with family, jobs, refugees, that we're trying to reach out to them. And I think that is a huge icebreaker. And because they're by nature, the Arabic culture is hospitable and they tend to show hospitality. And like, if you just like, for example, a good story where when our oldest daughter, she and I were out exercising and there was this couple, they were on the porch, and he's in Arabic dress, she's in Arabic dress, and they're eating something they cooked. And we walked by their house. They were like, here, you must be tired. Of course, we were sweaty. Here, go, you know, he sends his wife in there. You need water. We need to give you some water. You've been exercising. Congratulations. You know, congratulations for taking care of your body. I mean, it just shows that they didn't just like, okay, hey, they went out of their way to offer us water. They wanted us to come on the porch, sit down. They offered us some food on the porch. And we actually said, okay, I think that was something we had to learn, that when they offer you something, sometimes our pride wants to say, oh, no, thank you, I appreciate it. But I think with the Muslim culture, if we can, sometimes we can't, but sometimes it's just, if you can say, okay, thank you, I'll take a water, thank you, I appreciate it. Allowing them is also a big thing in their hospitality, allowing them to give you something, it makes them feel good. And so just things like that in our neighborhood and the outreaches we've participated in, with the team that's here, we're part of a team. We're not just our family. We're part of a team, a network of people, maybe 10 or 12 deep that we joined, and others have joined since we've been here, specifically, strategically to work and serve the people and minister to the people we're called to. So we do have a team that we knew we were joining when we came. So we also have been a part of allowing them to help us and train us and learn from them as we partner. And they've taught us, okay, these are things you can do as we do outreach. But I think the first thing is really primarily just being visible and being seen.
You know, I hear that so often. It's about relationships. It's just connecting with people. And I love that idea, Brian, because you guys are saying that you got to get out from your houses. You got to get out from your churches. You got to get out from wherever you are and get to where they are. They're not necessarily going to come to you. I love that idea. And you said that the Muslims are by and large hospitable. I think that there would be some people that are watching this that would say, you know what? I consider them to be more hostile, because there's this stigma of the Muslims, because what we hear a lot of times is, if we ever hear anything about Muslims, is that they're usually the ones that are violent. They're the ones that are doing some not really good things. And so we tend to kind of categorize the Muslims as somebody who are our enemies, or someone who are so opposite from us as loving, kind, peace-loving Christians, that it's hard for us to bridge that gap, to get to realize that, wait a minute, these people are people that God's created, that God loves, and that Jesus died for. How can you help people that are watching here today? How can you talk to them about how to get over that stigma, that feeling that they have, that knowledge that they have, and get them to see who they are, get them to see them how Jesus sees them? What are some things that we can do as a Christian people to reach out to the Muslims like you are?
One thing is it's really neat that there's doing what I just suggested, And there's a program within our larger fellowship called Say Hello. And that's strategically for women on women, because a lot of times men on men, women on women is a good practice to follow. It's a good rule of thumb with Muslim ministry, or really probably
with any ministry.
Today, especially in our culture today,
it's exactly.
Probably just for wisdom and accountability and
exactly.
guarding our hearts and ourselves and our families.
But before you get too much, I want to make sure that I answer this question, that I ask it correctly. How do you get past the stigma of, oh, you're a Muslim? How do you help us out with that?
Okay. Well, one thing, like I think praying and asking the Lord, first of all, pray. Ask the Lord for courage. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you, especially in particular. I know some regions there aren't as many Muslims as you are going to. You're more likely to encounter maybe another person of a different faith than Christianity and others. But where we are, you know, it's going to be Muslim. And so if you're in an area where you know someone, maybe someone works, and this is gaining, I guess, more popularity. Because the numbers are growing, that chances are, even where you are, Pastor, that you're going to go to school with someone, or you're going to go to work with someone who is a Muslim.
Sure.
And chances are that's going to happen. And
yeah, I mean, you see them covering their faces. You see them, you know, in their outfits and stuff. You know that they're different. How do you deal with that?
Well, first of all, you start in your heart. You have to pray. You need to ask the Lord to break down some barriers, to give you the courage to just reach out and say, Hi, how are you? My name is Brian. This is my wife. How are you doing? And you would be surprised at sometimes, first of all, usually their face will light up, because a lot of them don't expect us to reach out to them because of the stigma that they know is there. They're not naive. They know coming to America, from what we've encountered, they are very aware of the label already attached to them once they get here, that this is how most Americans see them. So if you reach out to them with a smile, not like giving them the eye, like, you know, I'm taken aback, why are you here?
Yeah.
You know, those kind of things go a long way. A lot of times they'll smile and they'll say hi, or put their hand over their heart, you know, like typical, you know, like that greeting. And then as you engage them more and more, you know, pray for them and ask the Lord to give you opportunities to just engage them. They like to talk about family. They're not afraid to talk about faith, religion. That's one thing they're used to talking about. They talk about religion all the time because it is their life. It's a part of who they are. It's just ingrained.
So let me stop you right there. So if they want to talk about religion, and see, that would be kind of what we should be comfortable with talking about too. But I think many of us aren't as Christians for whatever reason. So do you find that there's a significant point of opportunity there when they start talking about their religion, that we can engage with them about ours as well and present to them Christ? If you have any examples of that, like, do you have any stories? I know you probably can't name any names, but I'd love to hear some examples of that.
Yeah. Well, I had a wonderful one instance that just really stands out. We've had many, some on Zoom, some in person, but this happened in person last summer. So it was during COVID. But the Lord gave a friend of ours a great, idea, and it started at the universities by putting out a book table with university students that had different items in Arabic and English, and some apologetic like books involving, Islam and Christianity, and, at a central location where it would be seen, where there's a large group of people, and us be there, smile, say hi, and engage students, and allow them to come up if they want, no pressure, and engage us and ask us. And maybe it was free. Some of the material was free, some for like $5, $5 donation, if they were interested. And there was some good response from students. And so we, because of the weather and June, July, August, September, we said, let's try this at a local park. And we did, because in the evenings, it's packed. The parks around here are packed with families, men, women, kids, they're riding their bikes. So it's a great place to engage, especially during pretty much all summer. And another brother and I were standing out, kind of prepared to talk to people. And these two young guys around 20, they were both about 20 years old, and they were enrolled in one of the community colleges nearby, and they really enjoyed philosophy. And so they came up to talk to us, and you could tell the conversation started really, they didn't waste any time knowing that we were Christians by some of the titles of the books. There was a name, Jesus, and we talked, introduced ourselves, exchanged names. And immediately they said, well, you know, let me ask you, can we talk? It'd be okay for us to ask some questions about what you believe. Wow. And we said, sure, no problem. That's what we're here for. And we'd love to talk to you and ask you, you know, where you come from. And immediately they didn't waste any time. Mm-hmm. They went for the Trinity. Who is Jesus, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Wow. They went for what we would call the jugular. I guess that's the key issue. Ultimately, the Bible, the Trinity, and who is Jesus. Every conversation with especially Muslim is ultimately going to come back to that. That those are the central issues where they have problems understanding Christianity. Hmm. But that one night we talked for about 45 minutes, and the Lord gave me their scripture where it says, "Don't worry about what you're going to say." It just flowed like it was awesome.
Yeah.
The Lord gave us scripture, even things I'd learned from the Quran, to come back to get them to think about things, and even in their book, and what I couldn't answer, the brother next to me, he just picked up, and we just went back and forth and tag team, and their defenses went down, and we really ended up having a great conversation, and I was able to share the gospel and the question of sin, our need of a savior. Jesus did that on the cross. He was raised from the dead. He wants relationship with you guys. That's why he came. Our God is not a God of that's up there, you know, just standing off somewhere. He created us for relationship. And then our Zoom classes, we have Melanie and I teach the women's ESL program. Once in a while, I get to teach a male student in person, but typically during the day, a lot of times it's easier. The women are home or their kids are in school, and we can provide a place for them to learn English. And we've even added citizenship classes, and it's been really cool. We've been able to do some Bible lessons, and they have really started to ask some great questions. And I think they're legitimate questions. They're not trying to be antagonistic. They really want to know. And some of them are even reading their Bible at home.
Yeah.
They have a Bible at home and their husbands. And so it's like you see God moving and you see the walls coming down, but it takes time. Time is a big thing. Being out in public to where you can run into Arab Muslims in their markets, in places you know they're going to be. So and showing yourself friendly, smiling, opening your mouth, saying hello. Just being welcoming and not being like, you know, maybe even helping them disarm a little bit.
Sure.
Because like I said, they've been told from their leadership that Americans have issues with and think they're all, you know, bad. But the ones that we really engage mostly have all been quite the opposite.
That's so good. And I know everybody needs Jesus, you know, and you can take this same concept that we're talking about. It could be Muslims, it could be homosexuals, it could be the homeless, right. It could be whoever, whatever stigma that we want to put out there, whatever lifestyle, whatever religion, whatever choices people make, whatever station in people's lives. That's the foreigners. The Bible says to take care of the widows, the orphans, and the foreigners, right? And to us, it's not just someone from another country, even though that's a foreigner. It's just people that are different than us. And whoever you are different from, that other person to you is a foreigner. But the Lord has told us to take care of them, to reach out to them, to be Christ to them. So, you know, you can apply this whole idea of what you guys are talking about to go out, make a difference, to be available, to get out from your four walls and to engage. That's with everybody, you know, that needs Jesus. Melody, I want to ask you a question. why? I know you have a family. How many children do you guys have?
Two.
How old are they?
They're pretty grown now, 21 and 17.
But so they were younger when you guys started 6 years ago, obviously, in their teens. And you left whatever situation that you guys were in, you know, in probably a less Muslim emphasized community that you guys were in, probably more Christian community. Why are you doing this? Can you tell the viewers why in the world that you left your comfort and where you guys were and you're doing what you're doing now?
It was a process. The Lord just began speaking to us. We came here for a visit. Just to see the community and what was going on here. And the Lord really began speaking to us over a period of months that he was leading us to this group. I struggled as mom over the protection of my children. Mm-hmm. I had to really spend some time with the Lord and get a peace. The Lord just spoke right to Brian and here we go. And I'm like, okay, I got to pray. I need a peace because the protection of my children comes, you know, comes up as a mom.
Sure.
But yes, he led us here, and there's been so many things along the path that I've seen the Lord do in us and in our children and our girls, through the process of the ways that they have just learned to trust the Lord in their lives and to see them to, that as they've helped us and been involved in a lot of things, we've included them in everything along the way. We felt that was so important. They itinerated, they, you know, did all those things and
sure.
were on board and a part of the process.
So the sacrifices that you've made, the steps that you've taken, the obedience, working through the process of praying through this and finally saying, all right, Lord, I'll yield. You know, Brian was ready to go and it took you a little more time, but both of you ultimately said, yes, let's do this. We're equally yoked. We're gonna go in this thing with our kids. And Lord, you're going to take care of my kids. And Lord, you're going to take care of all these other situations that I'm concerned about. I guess this is the right answer. Would you say that the sacrifices have been worth it?
Yes.
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 Yeah. So what would you say to people that are maybe dealing with that right now, where maybe they're struggling with making some decisions that they know that the Lord is speaking them to do? How would you challenge them and encourage them to go ahead and take that step in that direction?
Well, you just in prayer and being on the same page as a couple and being on the same page with the Lord, just knowing the Lord's heart, just knowing that God is willing that none should perish. And that is so much more important than any material thing, anything that we can put up as a defense. If the Lord is calling you to something, he has a purpose for you, for your family. We felt that the girls had a purpose too in being here. And they've had opportunities to witness to kids and to teenagers and, just to draw maybe a family in where it wouldn't have been the same if we didn't have, you know, them. Yeah. But just to trust the Lord and the, he's calling you for his purposes and for good things from him.
So good. Well, we're going to have to wrap this up here in just the next few minutes, but, as we're doing that, I want to ask either of you feel led to. I believe that there's some people that are watching here today on this broadcast that maybe the Lord has spoken to their heart. Maybe they're struggling right now with acting in obedience to that. And it could be something very small or it could be something that's completely life-altering. Or somewhere in between, and they're bringing in a lot of different factors. What about my kids? What about the finances? What about my comfort? What about you name it, right? And they invite all this stuff into the equation, and they're kind of losing sight of that call, that draw, that pull that God is drawing them into a particular direction. I would love for you all to pray for those folks, Because you went through that, Melody, you know, and both of you guys have pulled up stakes and you've moved to a community that, even though it's in the United States, is completely different than where most other communities are in the United States. So you really have kind of stepped into a foreign area. So it's different. But the beautiful thing about it is I love the story because God has been faithful and you've seen fruit and good has come of it because of your obedience. And there's people that are watching that need to know that if they'll step out in obedience, that God will do the same through them. I would love for you all to lead us in prayer. And after you do that, I would like to pray for you all as well. So would you mind leading us in prayer for those that are watching here today?
Okay. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for your blessing, for this opportunity to share. We thank you, Lord God, for this window of time to just be able to share with others the call that you've placed on our family and the heart that this church has for the mission. And it is the Great Commission. And as Melody was saying, that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And Lord, you love all people. As Pastor said, no matter what background, if they're American, if they're not American, if they're wrestling with their sexuality, if they're wrestling with all these things, other issues, Lord, you're calling people to minister to those others that do not have hope. And if there's a family or more than one family and they're wrestling with that call as we did, Lord, today, God, Lord, one thing that I would speak, I pray over both of them that their hearts would be in unison. Mm. The two shall be one. If it's a couple, Lord, they both need to be, as I learned a very difficult lesson through that we both need to be on the same page. And I pray that you'll speak to both hearts. I pray that they'll be patient with one another as they're separately wrestling through the call. Children involved, I pray your peace. I pray your anointing upon their family. It's so important. You call them as a family. And that's for sure, Lord, because you have something for every single member of that family. And you have proven yourself faithful. And Lord Jesus, I ask that you'll just begin to build that level of faith, that they would trust you, Lord, as Melody said, trust you, Lord, with everything and be willing to surrender some of the comforts and even like we did to have to leave family to make that journey for a few hundred miles just to not be able to be there every day, but to say, you know what, there's people that are lost. And whatever that calling looks like, I pray, God, that you would build that faith level and trust that they need to just absolutely trust you, that you have them, you've called them, you're going to take care of them, no matter where that is, here or overseas or wherever. And we love you and we thank you for doing that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yes, and now, Lord, I also want to pray for Brian and for Melody, and we all do that, Lord God. We ask that you would be with them as they're continuing to minister in that Muslim community. Lord, we've heard the stories, and we thank you, God, there's more stories to tell. And as they continue to get out there and engage and be the light that you called them to be, that whatever religious barriers that might be there will be broken down, and that the reality of the truth of Jesus the Messiah will be obvious to those that maybe are looking for that answer. And Holy Spirit, break through those barriers, speak through Brian and Melody and their family and the rest of the workers that are there, and let there be a vibrant Christian community that would blossom in the midst of that Muslim community. Yes. And let it invade and permeate and revolutionize that community for the glory and the gospel and the kingdom of Jesus Christ. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Let me just say to those that are viewing here today, Jesus loves and has died for the godly Christian grandmother, as well as the evil Satan worshiper and everybody in between. God is no respecter of persons. Jesus loves each one. And so I want to encourage you, wherever you are, that whatever barriers that you might have in front of you as you're looking at people and whatever it is, see them as Christ sees them. And love them as Christ loves them. And just be available. Get out there into the harvest field, because the harvest is plenteous. The laborers are few. And we've been called to go. Brian and Melody, I want to thank you for joining us today. And we just pray a blessing over you as you continue to go for the harvest there in your community. And we're going to keep praying for you. And also, if you need to know more about Brian and Melody and their ministry, and to continue to try to protect somewhat their identity, we're going to put a link of our website, the church website here at Faith Assembly. And if you're interested to know more about them, if you want to support them in some way or communicate and contact with them in some way, you reach out to us and we'll make sure you stay and get in communication with them, okay? All right, Lord bless you. Again, Brian and Melody, thank you for joining us today. And you're welcome so much. And we will see everybody again here next time on our broadcast of The Harvest. You make sure and share this with someone else if you feel like they need to see it, and tell others about this, and we'll see you next time. God bless you, and thanks for joining us today. Bye.